If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Welcome to the Daily Show 1172.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
1172, I think it's a compressor.
I'm sure there's some component someplace called, like, labeled 1172.
Or no, this is 1176. I'm confusing the 1176 with the 1072 and 1073 microamps. So we're almost to 1176. Maybe I'll hook us all up with 1176s so we sound distorted and crushed, or whatever you want to do.
We can use this other ways to achieve that.
They have a nuke mode. Well, they have the all buttons in mode.
You know who I wish had a nuke mode? Iran.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Yeah. I'm fucking beside myself wearing these pleb tier earbuds that you usually wear.
Well,
it's like this is what happens, Larry.
Wait, that I usually wear.
I'm wearing Shores. These pleb $100 I got because I had this like big store credit at one place. Big store? Yeah, was it the credit store?
You like some kind of big store? You like some kind of headphone store?
I got these like $400-something, you know, pro tier in-ear monitors.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that. And I would say to myself, man, this Svenpai guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free riding. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm Svenpai's top guy. What am I going to do? Samsung chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
And one, the right ear stopped working like 2 weeks ago, and the left ear just crapped out while we were doing prep. And not like a fuck with this. It's like the drivers went bad. I could hear them go pink inside there.
Oh, dude!
And like they do nothing now. If I put a different wire going in, they're like they're done. I'm just like this is what happens. Like and these earbuds I just popped in, they've been like in a drawer for 6 years and they still work. What?
What are you running into the earbuds? Like what's the output that's going into them?
50,000 gigawatts.
What the fuck do you think is running into them? The headphone output.
My
audio.
Well, I was just wondering. It's like you have like some sort of like fucking little like preamp or something on there. It's like
what is this?
Overdriving it?
No, I'm like,
what is this?
It's on the. I have the antelope hill. By the way, writing contest or something, and 5% off. TRS-5.
TRS-5
is all in lowercase. If you want 5% off your antelope hill purchase.
So the size of this type input is
3.5 millimeter.
3.5 mil. Okay. I would always call these like an RCA.
No,
I don't know why.
RCA is like what's on the back of a record player or a like DJ mixer.
That's like the fat one, like
the little red or the back of your home entertainment. So a little red and white. One is left, one is right.
I gotcha. So I'm wrong about that. Anyway, so this is the 3.5 millimeter, and then the other bigger one. What is that? Like quarter of an inch.
Are people still really using RCAs, though? I mean, I feel like that's like old shit that we've moved away from.
Well, like the black and red.
Well, no, because now there's a lot of HDMI cables and USB cables instead.
I see no reason why.
Or there's SPDIF.
I mean, people probably
coaxial
still
SPDIF
do use
is
them,
out there.
Can we like elect a Hitler to just put everything on one standard? That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, these things rise and fall, you know.
RCA was one standard, but the technology.
Well, I don't like fascist to put it all on one.
Well,
standard.
as things go, basically, if you want like RCA cables, or if you want like telephone cables, remember the little like if you just like you can go to the Dollar General, they still have that stuff for like plebs, the like poor fags still have like 20-year-old equipment in their house. It's not vintage; it's just old. Like there's vintage. There's like so you can go get that stuff there, but pretty much everything is going to be on like HDMI is where they're going. They tried LightPipe for a while. That was terrible. No one likes LightPipe. The ADAT standard with you have it just shoots a laser with cable.
A laser.
Like you see the red light on either end. Because that thing is done if you crimp one of those, because it's literally a pipe that light goes through. If you crimp it, it's done.
Yeah, you're breaking the
optics,
right?
Yeah. Yes, the optics, the optical connection.
Is it fiber optic?
The point being, like, to me, the podcast sounds like shit again. It's like all my warm, full, like, all the smoothed out upper mid range is now like the harsh fucking. Remember, I'd play it like a parody song, and I'd be here like, like, be like, that's because these fucking short earbuds suck. Back on them. But it doesn't matter. We don't have to fix anything because the world will end late this afternoon when we fire all the missiles at the eclipse. The world will end just like we all ended up in FEMA camps after Operation Jade Helm and everything else Alex Jones has made up over the years that didn't land him in court owing people billions of dollars for.
Wait a minute. No. You don't understand. We're in a FEMA camp right now.
Oh, are
they? They've got us plugged into some sort of simulation.
If I'm in a camp, why am I paying bills? Shouldn't at least be in prison.
Simulation.
You're in prison. So isn't it supposed to be free at least?
Well, I'm like, why can't I live in a FEMA camp? Like, I want to live in a FEMA camp. Like, I don't want to. I want them to just provide me meals and like amenities in a camp. Like, just
That's what I'm saying.
Just set me up in like a nice fifth.
Put me
wheel.
In a FEMA camp where my job is to chop firewood. I was chopping firewood yesterday.
Oh, dude, I want to go chop
firewood. Oh, that's what's happening. Now this is unplugging.
Yeah, I'm hearing some crackling and stuff. I think everything's just falling apart. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Oh, is that an XLR cable?
I got
cable?
That. it's an XLR cable.
Anyway.
It somehow got pulled taut inside the stand. It's supposed to pretend it from pulling taut. Prevent it, whatever. It's not a litter box. It's a mic stand.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see how that one works. That's actually, right. That makes sense. That's very clever. Sometimes when you see these things, you're like, yeah, that's clever how that works. But anyway.
I just like to chop firewood.
Yeah, the world's, no, I want to start doing that. I want to find where you got that delivered so I can get some of that delivered to me so I can also do that because I also have an axe.
Oh, I'll give you the guy's number.
Yeah.
I will give you okay, there's definitely this bird is trying to nest in my deck, and I'm going to have to get my gun.
Just destroy the nest.
I would rather prevent him from building a nest in the first place. It's less cruel that way.
All right, if you think you can actually hit him.
No, I just mean I'll put something up there in his way so he can't build his nest anymore.
We got a nest.
If I futz with his nest, it'll.
We got a nest. Like, this is like prep tier material, but we got a nest. You know that thing we built in our backyard a few years ago that you rendered some assistance with, the big gazebo that we built?
Oh, yeah.
This is a nest one corner, obviously. They're going to nest in there, right? And I'm like, well, I would like to remove the nest.
And you're like, this is my nest.
And she was like,
it was built just for me.
She was like, There's little eggs and birds in there. And I'm like, yeah, and it's disgusting. And
yeah, there's shit everywhere now. Like, see there's been a nest in that spot before, and you can see the white bird shit like streaming down it because I never.
Yeah.
Like, what am I? I wasn't put on this earth to scrub bird shit.
We actually didn't get that, and now they've abandoned it. This was like last season, so the nest is there. They've abandoned it. I'm like, now it's just garbage. We should get rid of it. Hmm. She's like, they might come back. They might want to use it again. I'm like, well, maybe they will, but like, do we want this? Like, I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It's not the biggest deal. Like,
fuck am I looking at here?
I don't know. I have no idea what that is.
These are hookers.
Oh, okay.
But they look like they're really hot for some reason. How did that happen?
I don't know. I mean,
someone's calling this
is
this is like post-apocalyptic Wild West. Like, what do you mean? The hookers that are actually sexy? That's weird.
Dude. When I was
That's
in New
not
York,
to happen.
When I lived in New York, the
they're
only time
to be,
like,
they're
the,
supposed to look like trashy hookers.
Anytime,
all right, that one's trashy.
Anytime hookers came on to me or tried to approach me in New York, they were black.
Yes,
like
exactly.
All of the ones that would come
probably
up to you,
dudes.
All and these were probably women's, but you know, like a lot of them, they will no, like it never really happened to me very much. Just so people understand this, but anytime it did, where it, just on the street, just like a cold open, like a cold solicitation from a hooker, it would. Be a black woman, yeah. And I would just be cold like, no.
Always be closing.
Remember one time I was just walking back. It was like a weeknight, and I wasn't even in a shitty part of town. I was walking back to my apartment from a friend's house, and I was actually pretty close to like Central Park. And this black chick, this little mulatto chick in like a red, like real skimpy red dress and like fishnets and stuff, and she's like, "Hey, baby," and I was like, "No.
Wait, go on.
No. Anyway.
All right, we need to do a show here. Let her somebody, anyway. Somebody hand me a T-hole to fall
so,
into.
So, all right, well, the T-hole, let's do this T-hole.
Oh, you
so,
want to watch this? Hold on, I have a good T-hole. It's a good introductory T-hole. It's funny.
Introductory T-hole.
Yeah,
okay,
it's good. Oh, I mean, where's the video? White. All right, Twitter, fucking calm down.
Yeah, I've heard, I've seen this. I see where we're going. This is a good T-hole. This gets things started.
This is a good T-hole. This is what we do. This is content. I just go on Twitter and just report back what you find in case you missed it.
White power. Fuck Israel. Fuck Benjamin Netanyahu. Fuck Sally Black. Jihad. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
Are you Muslim?
Allah Akbar.
Are you Muslim?
Allah Akbar. The fuck is it? Allah Akbar.
Do you live there?
Is that Michael Rapaport?
What?
He went to the Jihad store.
Oh, I guess he lives here. 360 North Edinburgh.
Oh, I hate these people so fucking much.
Now, so I don't know who he's yelling at, but apparently the family has come out and said that they're Jewish. I have this Sam Parker says, it turns out the guy shouting white power and Allahu Akbar is Jewish. All of a sudden, the Jewish accounts promoting this video don't want it shared anymore. Expose the hate speech for thee, but not for me. Typical hypocrisy from this Saturday church crowd. That's a good meme right there, the Saturday church crowd. This is Sam Parker I'm reading from. To be clear, my position hasn't changed. This was free speech, and no crimes were committed. Shout whatever you want.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, this is the Jew Hate Database. The family of the person depicted in the video contacted us to share that the individual is Jewish and struggles with mental illness. I mean, he sounded pretty lucid to me.
I heard nothing but sense. I heard nothing but lucid, logical, cohesive arguments
about
and points.
That. He's obviously within his... I mean, he was cured of his... If he's Jewishness, like, he found the cure for it somewhere. I don't know what vaccine that was.
Is he crazy, or is he more sane?
They have asked that the video not be reshared to avoid further harm to their family in the Jewish community.
Now, I'll say this. If that's an...
This was my T-hole. It was made just for me.
Oh, yeah. Like, assuming that that's a lie, which I don't, it could very well be true. Particularly, think about this. There's a few possibilities. One, the guy just was, like, trolling, and he's not Jewish. And they actually cleverly got out of this by saying that. However, I would expect that if the family was Jewish, then they would have connections to the Jewish community, and this would be how this message would get spread through the back channels, and then they would shut it down, right?
I mean, it's a very nice place. I would imagine that that's...
And that looks like a Jewish home to me.
Well, this is Southern California. So this is in LA, so they all the homes kind of look like that.
Yeah, that's true.
That looks like a nice one. It's not like a...
Right.
It's not like a trailer that's not a trailer.
Right.
Usually that's what those little Adobe things are. They're like the stucco boxes.
Yeah.
With the Spanish
actual
tiles.
Nice houses.
Oh, like, see, at the bar on the windows. Maybe he's not Jewish. I mean, they got bars on the window. But then again, I don't know how far that
might just be
that phenomenon goes now. Well, they have to make the bars look decorative now, because I'm sure, like, every... But then again, Compton is a nice place now. It's just filled with beaners.
Well,
it's like upper middle class beaners are Compton now. So that whole
that
thing is
house of that size in LA is expensive.
Yes.
Period.
Oh, yes.
And it looks like the lawn is nice. It looks like the neighborhood.
The lawn definitely needs help.
It does.
The lawn is not looking very good. But they got lots of nice. They got lots of nice little trees and shrubs.
My point is, like, the property looks...
My azaleas.
Yes, the lawn needs to be worked on, but the property itself is nice,
right.
Is my point.
What's wrong with the lawn? Is it just like crabgrass?
Well, there's a big worn-out spot in the middle of it and a lot of, like, can you not see? Hold on, I'll put it back up on the screen for you.
Jihad!
Allah Akbar!
Allah Akbar!
Yeah, I'm looking at this area here.
Those shrubs need trim, too.
Yeah, it's a little fucked up right here.
The shrubs also
he does.
There's
I got
little,
you know,
steps right there. And...
He does kind of yell like a retard, though.
Allah Akbar.
Yeah, then, you know, he's I believe that this is true.
It's possible.
I believe it's true. I believe that it's true that he's Jewish and has mental illness. He's Jewish and mentally retarded.
I have that somewhere.
This is the excuse.
Allah Akbar.
That's the one I was going to hit.
But, like, I think that,
what?
He was Jewish and mentally retarded.
There you go.
God, I remember that. I remember that killed the first time I used that.
Yeah, that was very funny.
I feel like you can never use that drop again.
Well, now you have a very valid reason to reuse it.
Or the first time we hit cooking it down, the skin's nice and crispy. It only really hit one time. After that, you're just like, eh, all right.
I don't know. It was probably funny again after all these years. But in any case, think about this for a second. So he's let's run with
cooking
him.
It down. The skin's nice and crispy.
Yeah, you're kind of right. let's run with this for a second. So think about this. So let's say it's true, and I think it's likely that it's true, because if you're going to get Jews to come out and say that, then the family has connections to the Jewish community, and word got spread around, and word got right. Them, right?
Well,
so
yeah.
You can't really just get away with that lie. Like when you lie and say you're Jewish, Jews know. And can figure out if you're lying, because there are people that have said they're Jewish before.
Yeah, that doesn't just work. They're like, nah. You're not getting out of this.
Finding out, yeah.
They wouldn't even let it slide to say he struggles with mental illness. He's crazy. As like Goy, be like,
If he wasn't Jewish, the mental illness thing would not
does not
fly.
Matter.
They would
like,
not care. Like if a family of white people had a mentally ill, had a mentally disturbed son or some adult son living.
Oh,
with
man.
Them, and they had to deal with outbursts and weird behavior and stuff, and he did this, and if they said, look, he's got
the question
a problem,
is,
what
kind of retardation disease makes everyone yell Allah Akbar and white power, and how can we spread it?
Well, that's
what
exactly
we need to find
what
out.
Is
this condition
about.
Contagious, and can we harness it for good?
Well,
will his power be amplified by the eclipse later today, and suddenly... From the darkened skies, we'll have jihad.
I imagine that
this could be like Dune. Like the sun goes out, there's the sandworms.
Right.
I don't know.
Anyway, I have a thing to say about this.
Okay.
Which I've been trying to get to, which
I'm
is
sorry.
That, think about his home life. And, you know, retarded people that have outbursts don't just have any outbursts. Like the outbursts are based on previous inputs.
Yes.
And however they filter input. Them, however they filter them back out, right? Like they can, now they're going to outburst something that they've never experienced or had like come into their field of vision in some way. So if he's living in a Jewish household and he's mentally retarded, he's hearing all the political talk that the Jews do, right?
Yeah.
He's hearing the way they're talking to each other about all the stuff that they're talking about, and he's now filtering that out. So you can just assume that in that household they talk about hating white people and Muslims all the time.
I'm against Jews.
Well, they're also Jewish, so you can assume that that's also just true, generally speaking. Well, this sort of seems to me to be kind of like evidence of that, you know? I don't know. Anyway, that's about it.
Let's just see if anything else funny we can add to that. I mean he's just Jewish and mentally retarded.
Given the way he was, like, I got to say, I did get retard vibes, because like the way he did it and like the way he was yelling, and then as he's walking away, like continuing to like mutter it to himself, Allah Akbar.
We are Jew haters.
That's him, but like muttering. Also, he's muttering to himself as he goes back to the pool.
But another thing is the guy behind the camera, like the instinct of the Jew who's filming, right? Like to be like, oh, you live here? This is like, again, they're such fucking, they're like,
oh, and read out your address on,
they're such like the instinct of the Jew to be like a sneaky, like snitch, like find out, like they're all fucking spies, just so you understand. Like every Jew is a fucking spy. And I've seen this when you go out, like when we go out and do, like when we did the protests in DC. Like, and there would be people that would be coming up, and they would just be silent, just like holding their cameras and like smirking. I'd be like, I see what you're fucking doing. Like, I get, like, this is an intimidation thing, right? Or you're going to like share this with some fucking Jew group or
they're
something.
They're going to get you fired from your anti-Semitic podcast.
Yeah, it's just like, what do you, but I'm like, it's just the attitude of this. It's so, it's actually fucking insufferable. Like the fundamental attitude of like the spy, the snitch, the underhanded, like, I'm not going to do anything right now.
Since
but
it's
I'm
absurd
do, you know,
to claim that these people have any control over our society, that's why they're doing it. I mean, they're
right.
Reading out your address, and they're collecting your... And then they have a back channel where you can be like, oh, no, he's Jewish. Please stop sharing this. It's because they have no control over the society. Yeah, no control over its media. They have no power. They're just a...
It's so funny, too.
What's the word? They're like a marginalized minority.
Yeah, they're marginalized.
They're oppressed.
It's so funny, too, when you see sometimes, like, Gentile, like, leftists that act in the same way, and, are sometimes successful, but sometimes fail. Mm. Like when, what's his name? That fucking, who's that loser that used to work with Mike Hayden? The guy that, Luke O'Brien, right?
Oh, yeah.
Luke O'Brien, like, tried to get that Jewish woman, Amy Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he like, followed her family, and he did his thing, like, staking out outside the house and, like, spying and shit. And she says, like, anti-Muslim stuff. And I'm like, bro, like, that's not... You fit, and he failed. He, like, utterly failed. He did not... Nothing happened to her. In fact, he got in trouble. And I'm assuming he actually lost work because of that. I think he did, because he really was not... He was not really, like, working very much after that. But, anyway.
This is an unfortunate comment on prep that I feel like I have to read in, like, a Ron Bennington voice.
All right.
I'll just... Hold on, let me hear it here. Make, 100 million plus doses of time to be batched into. Like, batched into 1,000 bottles. It's like you batched into 1,000 bottles, bro. Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's Daily Showa. The first half, anyway, with annoying ads interrupting it throughout. You can get away from this by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and signing up for a subscription. You will be treated to the full show on a convenient RSS feed in one giant file. You'll never have to hear these sales pitches again, and you'll get to comment and use the Bang forum. What fun! Join us, therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Batch, I can batch to that. I can batch into 1,000 bottles with that.
Does Alex even know what batching means?
I think the context clues
in the Ron and Fez universe.
Running
a batch.
That was also like Obi and Anthony would say that.
Well, yeah, they
like
got it from them.
No. Yeah. Run a batch to that.
Oh my
then
god!
Then just became batching.
He was talking about the batching of the batching of the COVID vaccines. That was fucking great.
Batching 1,000 bottles.
It's like a very small amount in each bottle, I guess. Unless you're just there for days.
Yeah, for
running
days.
Running 1,000 bottles.
Days, you're talking about like,
like minutes, so let's be honest here.
Protein deficiency here now. Like, I'm just like, I'm losing all sugars and salts from my body. Like, I don't, yeah.
Oh, anyway. God.
Anyway.
Batch to that. So, I don't know.
Anyway, I got to talk about this.
Oh, you know what? I also love, like what obnoxious thing did these Jews do walking down the street that made him yell this at them? That's what I want to know.
Probably something like that.
I mean, I don't know. It says they're just walking back from synagogue. I'm like, fuck you. There's no way they were just... A Jewish man was walking back from synagogue earlier today when this male started throwing up Hitler statues and yelling. That's the Stop Anti-Semitism. Account.
Well,
I just don't believe. Like, what were you doing on the street?
They might have been visible Jews. You know this term, visible Jews, because if you've ever been to a place like West Orange, New Jersey, would be the first time I ever encountered this. Right, West Orange, New Jersey has a big Haredi, they say Hasidic Haredi, whatever you want to call it, community. And if you would drive through that fucking town on a Saturday, at least in the '90s when I was a kid, you drive through fucking West Orange, New Jersey in like on a Saturday, like these people would be out and about. Like they would be just like flocking on the sidewalk, all the people in their fucking black hats and robes and their shit. Like, so you would see like processions of them. So it would look almost like some kind of event. Like, and they would all be like them and their wives and their kids, and all of them just like traipsing down the street in their getup, their Jewish getup. So maybe that's, if you see something like that, then the fucking urge to yell Heil Hitler, Allahu Akbar, does sometimes get very strong. Like, you see these Jews walking and you're like, yeah, no, I want to just like snap a Roman salute and yell Allahu Akbar. Like, it's just something that is just part of me wants to do that. And I don't, you know, you have to suppress that urge if you want to not have your life destroyed by Jews, because they're all spies. Remember that. Every Jew is a fucking spy.
This meme doesn't exist. This is such a horrible... This proves the other meme. So you have the rabbi, I hate you with every fiber of my being. And then the original meme I pulled up was a guy, Jordan in a MAGA hat. You're my greatest ally.
This is the accurate...
But then like somebody clapped back with like...
No, that's
I hate
you
with every fiber of my being. I know I read the Talmud, but nobody with a... that you wouldn't be wearing the MAGA hat if you knew. Like, that's the big fucking psyop right there. That's the big one. Like the idea that fucking MAGA is anti-Israel or believes in, like, nah, dude.
Yeah.
MAGA is like make Israel greater. Make greater Israel.
The thing you started, and that we've been saying, this idea that all the anti-Semitism and things that are being allowed now might all be geared toward Trump, and that
I think
the Trump election,
100%,
that after the election, like, we're going to see a crackdown 2017 style. Like, I've seen that spreading. Like, a lot of people on Twitter are saying this now. They're all like, yeah, this is probably all temporary. It's like, get in your hits while you can.
Well,
like,
didn't you say Trump made some weird statement? Like, they've
botched their war.
He's saying they're botched
their war.
I try to get this rasp. I saw this Facebook reel of like somebody pretending.
You just
be
stepped
like,
over it.
So, oh, what did you say?
I botched to that.
They didn't bash to it. I botched.
So,
yeah. But there was, I saw somebody was doing like, if Donald Trump was in Dune, it was really funny.
That would be funny just because anything. Like, putting anything in Dune is funny. Like, is anything out of place in Dune is always hilarious.
Okay, so Maudeeb was being, Paul was being portrayed, but he was doing his impression of Owen Wilson, which I can't really do. Where he's trying to deny that he's the Kwisatz Haderach. He's like, no, you don't understand. We've had the greatest writers. The prophecy, it's real. You're him. It was so good. And the guy did such a good Trump. And I'm jealous because I can't get, because he had this rasp to the way he did it.
Yeah.
That I...
Sorry,
touch the feet again. But like, I can't do the Trump voice with like a rasp like that. It really makes me sad. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So I got a gag about that. Like, so your wife makes like cookies and muffins and stuff like that.
She batched that.
No, she does, right?
Yeah.
Well, next time she does that, if she makes like,
you want me to make a batch?
No. Next time she makes like muffins or cookies, she brings them out. You'd be like, hey, listen, just call me Paul, because I'm about to eat Atreides.
Oh, that's great.
You like that one, right?
Yeah.
You like that? I thought you might like
Atreides.
See, I was like, I came across that.
Crispy.
And I'm like, I should hold it in reserve till the next time we're at a gathering together and somebody literally brings out a tray of food. But I couldn't just not. It was so good, I couldn't just not do it. Anyway.
That is very good. I'm going to eat Atreides. I'll tell her that joke. She won't get it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Don't eat a whole tray of these.
Yeah, don't eat a tray of these.
Then you just do your 3 mile jog. You can't ruin your gains or your losses of fatness.
Ruining your losses.
Trump. So he gives this statement. Like, it looks like he's not criticizing Israel.
No,
or he's criticizing Israel.
Yeah.
From as somebody who's on their team,
yeah.
He's like, we need like a change of like coaching staff here, a different way of prosecuting this war so that you can win. He's not saying Israel bad and they're doing genocide. He's saying like, listen, they've kind of screwed up the PR, the optics, and now like Iran is supposedly behind some perpetual ceasefire that they were supposedly strong arming America to bring to, which is just like, I'm a little upset with Iran. It's like, you're basically saying with this ceasefire cements the total loss of the Gaza Strip.
So here's something he said. Now, he said a few things, but here's, I've actually found some actual direct quotes. He says, you've got to get it over with. You have to get back to normalcy. I'm not sure I'm loving the way they're doing it.
I'm not sure I'm loving it.
You've got to have victory, right? I love that. I'm not sure. Then Trump's having asked about his support for Israel. He's like, Israel has to get better with the promotional and with the public relations.
Oh, my God. Because
right now, they're in ruin. They're being hurt very badly, I think, in a public relations sense. So, again, what is that?
I hurt my neck!
What does that tell you, right? Now, that's not the first statement he made. He made another statement previously, which, again, I'd have to go. This is from a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago. A couple weeks ago. And he says, he said something similar, but it was a little bit, like, you could take it. That was very clear that he's only saying that their PR is bad and they should have won quicker, right? And he made another previous statement that was more ambiguously like, you could read what he's saying as a critique of them in general. But if you really think about it, it's actually the same critique, right? So he's basically saying they botched to that. Right. Like the invasion of Gaza.
This guy would not botch to that.
They botched to that. But again, you know, everything that's been done. It's so funny how all the people that talk about, like, mistakes...
They botched into 1,000 bottles.
Yes. Mistakes made... They botched with, like, 2,000-pound bombs. Like,
yeah, right?
The mistakes made in the Middle East... Like, this is a refrain you hear from fucking Jews, neocons, etc. for decades now, and it's like, well... I don't one, the question is, do you really think these are mistakes?
This is really bad.
Or like, are you just doing coping?
If they're able to get Trump into the White House, then it's just going to be like gloves off. Like, Israel's going to be able to do whatever the fuck they want. They're going to be able to, they're going to be slaughtering cows and running into temples.
I'm wondering about that. Because what I see with the left is they're basically saying, oh, you got to vote for Biden, blah, blah, blah. You know, hold your nose and vote for Biden. It's like, but why? If you're like actually opposed to the ethnic cleansing happening in the Middle East, why wouldn't you use this as a situation where you could at least punish the Democrats, kind of teach them a lesson of sorts? Like, if you're going to get the genocide either way,
yeah, you're going to get either way. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's kind of my point. There's no outcome when this gets stopped. It's a matter of how it gets done.
I also have a slight bit of a sort of a novelty take here, maybe, which is I'm not sure how much harder we'd really go should Trump be elected. Like, I'm not actually sure
the PR coverage would be different.
But imagine instead of
apologetically acknowledging that, like, a hospital blew up under Trump, it's like, yeah, they blew this fucking hospital up.
But that would also
And all
then,
these crippled Palestinians are dead Palestinians now, and that's
that
an upgrade.
That would also,
you know,
engender significantly larger left-wing liberal, like,
yeah, but they're, like, out of power and can't do anything. It was good for their campaign for 4 years later when it's over and done with, and they can just get back to business as usual. Of doing other stupid shit.
But I'm saying actual on the ground, like, resistance from, like, people, like public.
But there is none.
Resistance.
There's none. What does it amount to? There's no public resistance. This government is a juggernaut. Like, they don't care if you block highways and cause traffic jams. And they don't. I mean, this government doesn't care if you get a mob of your friends together to rob a department store. They may or may not let you get away with it. They don't give it. Like, they're not. They don't give a shit.
I think that they. I don't think they don't give a shit. I think they will. They will press forward and do what they want to do anyway. But the public outcry and uproar over the Palestine stuff has actually had an impact on them. Now they. It's not total.
I'm gonna need some sauce for.
Well, why
from
did
that.
Jews are fucking kvetching about it constantly?
Well, because they're just. They're kvetching about it because they're like, why don't they like us while we're doing this? They're still going to do it.
Right.
And having Biden, like, reluctantly tutting them once in a while, like, it's not, I don't know.
No, my point is that, like, they don't, they're not unconcerned with resistance, is my point. Like, they don't just, they worry about it and they try to stop it. And that's for a reason. They're worried about political resistance. Right now, they have the power to overcome it, but it doesn't mean that they feel like, one, that will necessarily always be the case, and they don't want to suppress it, shut it down, and destroy it.
I just feel like they're not worried about it. I feel like they're in a foot race for endgame right now.
Well, that's why it does have an effect. Like, they feel like they need to speed their timetable up, or they need to, they do react to the mass public outcry. They do react to that. It does change to how they have to work and what their strategy is. It's not really going to make the U.S. stop supporting them. No,
right.
That would require an actual legitimate, like, revolution, like tearing the people
that
out
would
of
be
power.
Like, that would be like
throwing them out.
That would
right?
be like but, you go, that would be like when you actually get inside the Capitol building and there's a joint session of Congress. You actually slaughter everyone instead of just wandering around doing pranks, taking pictures,
right.
taking
so,
selfies,
right.
taking lecterns, and then crying like, oh, "What the what? We didn't do anything.
Right?
We're actually just cowards and totally inept."
So. I
know we were sent in here to overthrow the government, but we didn't mean it. We weren't actually doing that. It's like, no, you just lost. You just lost.
I don't think I really understood what they were doing.
Now you're reminding me of the kind of cowardice that I see in these various, like, online product consumption circles, like these various hobbyist circles on the internet, where you've got, like, obvious right-wingers, and they're always talking about how they don't want politics in something.
Well, yeah.
Like, I don't want any politics. I actually have political views, but I don't want politics in my insurrection,
please stop. Yeah,
I don't want I don't want insurrection in my overthrow. I want to non-violently, like, reverse the will of the people in their election. It's not an overthrow. It's not treason. It's just like we're just a bunch of people inside this building overturning the legal fucking outcome of a legal election. And we're doing this outside of the process. Well, actually, there is no process for overturning a stolen election in America. That's a fun thing right there. So we're just, because there's no process for that, we have to invent our process. But oh, we're not actually doing it, though. Please stop throwing us in jail. We didn't mean it. We didn't know.
Is there really no process for that? But I guess
I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any constitutional or Bill of Rights. What's the word for it? Proscription for. The guy who won the presidential election is somehow fake.
Well, they have to just impeach
just,
him.
I think you just
and,
yeah,
like, get rid of him
just impeachment.
Or whatever
there's
the
no
process is.
But you can't like you can't sue anybody, and you can't go anywhere, and there's no and there's
no,
no provision for like let's have a revote. Like they don't do that.
No, so they don't do that.
So January 6th,
well, like
January 6th was a legit. It was a failure at a revolution.
Okay,
it was a false revolution.
Yeah, but it's also it's
don't forget.
So
there's, don't forget, they were fighting the Capitol Police and security. They were mobbing them and they were knocking them over. They overpowered them to getting an entry to that building. They did it. There's plenty of video of it. I know it's a standard conservative code. Like, no, they were allowed in.
Well,
they were not allowed in.
Funny about
they were the... fighting the cops. They had violence outside, and then when they got inside, I don't know. There was no violence in there.
Now there was a trap set for them. Absolutely, that's definitely true. I'm not saying that they didn't fall directly into it, because they did, because the trap was legitimately like, let them get so far, then put up resistance, and then fighting started, etc. But they absolutely fell right directly into a fucking trap.
Well, imagine they went there to actually fight. Imagine they didn't have the television Fox News version of how revolutions work, where like, you're just going to walk in and Congress is going to be so embarrassed in their mistake. They see the will of the people, like just they'll just lay down and be like, you're right, it's all yours.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought, but whatever. I mean,
they were conservatives. They didn't.
They were being amped up by Trump. Anyway,
and they lost.
That's not my the point being.
And then
about
after
this.
They lost, they don't have the decency to like stand up for their convictions and be like, yeah, we tried to overthrow the government for Trump and we failed. They're like, no, we weren't trying to do that. How dare it? We were just walking around inside the building.
Well,
we weren't there to change the outcome of the election. We were just kidding. Please have mercy on us. And the government's like, no, you did treason.
Well, they never
like
really
you
charge anybody with treason.
You lost. I know that the government's been very lenient with the J6ers. That's my point.
Well, then
none of them have been put to death.
Then their little pose worked. Then saying we didn't really
possibly
do that. Please have mercy. They did. So good for them.
I don't know.
They got away with it. Good for them. If you got away, if you tried to do insurrection, you only got charged with trespassing. That's a win. But
they've been crying about it the whole time.
Oh, yeah, well, the crying seems to work.
Well, no, because they cry about being held before trial and after trial these extended sentences,
right. And their bitching seems to actually make the government like not want the appearance of being tyrannical and to be lenient with them. So good for them.
I don't think so. It makes the government want to like have it both ways. Be like, haha. We're charging you with a misdemeanor, but we're putting you away.
Well,
for
I know.
Time.
All I know is when these people like cry victim and stuff, libtards absolutely lose their fucking mind, and it's sort of funny. But whatever. I mean, the point I'm trying to make though is that I don't just because the government is committed to a policy and unresponsive does not mean that mass public sentiment is something they just ignore or trot upon or can shit on or don't have to deal with or don't have to take into account. Or don't have to worry about. And mass public sentiment against Israel is something that they are very much worried about. That's my point. Like, it's not like they are just like, oh, yeah, we don't worry. Yeah, there's like hundreds of thousands of people in the street on this issue. Like, yeah, you could say that when niche groups do tiny little protests, that gets ignored and laughed at. When hundreds of thousands of people go out and do them, they won't listen.
I hope that happens. That'd be great.
That every fucking weekend is happening in Europe. I know that much.
Europe
now,
is really good at ignoring those people.
Well, in Europe just gets ignored.
There's people like driving
people
around.
Just don't care.
People like drive around tractors and like dump manure and fertilizer on government buildings. They just like sweep it up and be like, "Yeah, we're moving forward with our carbon tax. Shut up."
Well,
go back to your
Europe
farm.
Also,
wasted a bunch of fertilizer.
There have been a few protests in America with that number, but again, it's not also just the protests. They also look at the numbers. They look at the people who, like the number of people who think the Holocaust is fake is going up. The number of people who support Palestine versus Israel is going up. Like eventually, that's the thing that Jews are worried about. This is kind of why that audio that was leaked from the ADL, from that conversation they were having at the synagogue. What I thought was so interesting about it was how Greenblatt kept talking about the, it wasn't so much the legal ramifications, how they wanted to go after, how they wanted to go after people that are doing activism for Palestine. I think they'll have less success. Like, say you go out and do a street protest for Palestine, they will have less success in trying to get you on that because of the way America works than they will with the lawfare that he was confessing that they were planning against all universities. So he was essentially saying every university in the country, or at least the top ones to set examples, we are going to they are going to face legal action essentially until there's no more pro-Palestine sentiment on the campuses. Because and they're going to do that by accusing the schools of discrimination, harassment, anti-Semitism. They're going to get Jewish kids that go to the schools to be plaintiffs and to sue, and they're going to threaten to, one, drown them in legal costs and remove donor money from them, so that they'll at the same time have all these costs and they'll also be losing money. And you know that if Jews decide to, as a group, withdraw their money donating to elite universities and sue them to cost the money, Gentile money, whatever legacy Gentile money goes to these schools, will not make up for it. They can also probably get some goys to likewise withdraw their money. So that's a thing. And the reason they're doing that is because they do not want graduates of elite schools anymore to graduate people with pro-Palestine sympathies. Because they see the way the thing is shaking out, they see the way the public opinion is going, and they're like, increasingly this means that people...
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega-donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
They're just going to come up through the system and get into the system, are going to be pro-Palestine. And they've been having this problem then in the State Department, where like younger State Department staffers are like going on strike, like not showing up for work.
And it's going to be a hard circle to square, though, like... Because essentially support for Israel means taking positions that would be, I don't know, it sounds a little fascistic to me that you get to have an ethno state and you get to have borders and stuff.
Well,
that's literally the thing we're trying to discourage here domestically. Remember, how, Alex, are we going to make both these things work?
I'll explain it. This is now, I'm not saying it's going to work, but I'm saying they have a narrative. And you know how right-wingers always complain that leftists seem to be actually fine with ethnocentric stuff or even like racist exclusionary stuff as long as it's anti-white? Like they say, oh, you have like safe spaces for blacks, or oh, you support the indigenous movement of these people in this third world country someplace, and that's effectively an ethnic movement, right? Increasingly, Israel's been telling the story that they are an indigenous people's like land back rights movement, right? And so they'll say, because you can always turn around. You can say, like, oh, if you think that what – because this is the problem with a lot of these narratives.
I don't think people are going to buy it, though.
They're not going to buy it, but that's the story that they're selling, right?
I've seen them try to do this, and right. It's like – because, you know, I see it on Twitter and places like that. It's like it just looks like a lame fucking cope.
Well, it is
such
a lame
obvious attempt to like fucking cope for the fact that you're doing something that is not that you don't consider to be permissible for anyone else to do. You want this carve out for your little people, and I just don't think it's going to fly.
The only reason it's not permissible, though, is because they're the left is perceiving them as white, and so they desperately want to themselves to not be perceived as white anymore. And again, like. Not too long ago, in like the narrative that Israel is like white colonial oppressor beating down like brown people, that's relatively recent. Like when Israel first started it actually had liberal support. Like in the 60s and 70s, it had liberal support because what they framed it as was, now it wasn't necessarily that it was ethnic. They framed it as a small, little tiny thing of Jews who had been oppressed, who were building like a little socialist country and were being oppressed by these Arab theocratic anti-woman, anti-freedom dictatorships that were like allied to the USSR were the ones that were like oppressing little old democratic socialist Israel. That was convincing to liberals in the 60s and 70s. Like my stepmother, who I grew up with, was very much a total like dyed, like yellow dog, blue dog, whatever you want to call it, Democrat, dyed in the wool, total liptard, was a Zionist in the 60s. She was like pro-Israel in the 60s. She also, of course, lived in New York City, had a lot of Jewish friends. So, but then she became against it later on when it kind of shifted. So they're like, oh, now the power dynamic and the racial dynamic makes people start to feel uncomfortable. Now, I'm not saying anything's going to work. I'm saying the story is there. And they clearly want people to buy it. And if they have enough power and if they can exert enough force on major institutions long enough, maybe they can get that story to be the one written into canon. I don't know. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that's going to, I think they've just engendered too much hate, too much resentment. Plus, Muslims aren't going to ever go for it, right? And so I'm just saying that's what they're trying to do. Just because they're trying to do something doesn't mean they're going to succeed.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons it's not going to work is that you did an ethnic cleansing or you're attempting to do ethnic cleansings. Like,
yeah.
That's a bad look, brother.
Right, and also they can't.
It's not an ethnic cleansing of self-defense.
They also can't really.
I've
they can't really. The fact that there's different groups of Jews that say different things too, eventually we'll get them because you can take these type of Jews that say this and you can be like, well, what about those crazy like lunatic genocidal? What about those guys? And they have to then like eat that, right? So again, I don't know, but this is kind of my point is that I think they do worry about public opinion. They worry about public opinion in a number of ways, not necessarily just like a big street protest. They ultimately are worried about it. And so they want to make sure that they basically, the other thing is, it'll be interesting to see the ADL's campaign, to watch it and see, does this work? Do they manage to get these universities to shut down? They already got Columbia to do it. So Columbia University in New York City, Ivy League school, the president of Columbia already shut down Students for Justice in Palestine. They kicked the group off campus and they said, if any group wants to do protests on or about campus on this issue, they need to give 10 days notice and get a permit from the university and tell the cops and all the stuff. And it's like, right. And when they do that, when they decide we're going to have a pro-Palestine protest at Columbia and we inform the university and we get the permit and we go through the motions and the Jews have 10 days to gay op us now. They have 10 days to set up a gay op to either like cause a fight, get people doxxed, get people arrested, you know, all the things that they do when they know that you're coming to do something that they don't approve of. So that effectively, that has now, and the Students for Justice in Palestine people understand that like, oh yeah, if we go do this now, they will do something, they'll cause something violent, or they'll just be there like with cameras everywhere and they'll try to end the careers of anybody that does it. So what they'll probably be able to do, they won't necessarily be able to get people to be silent, but I definitely think they'll be able to get, I mean, they won't necessarily get them to be able to be pro-Israel. They'll get them to shut the fuck up. And also, I think, you know, the browner these universities get, the easier it's going to be for them to do it, because niggers don't give a shit about this issue. Latinks don't give a shit about this issue. Arabs and Muslims do, but they can kind of just make some carve-outs for them, or they can just buy some of them off. Like, again, this is their plan. I don't know if it's going to work. It's what they want to do. I can see it developing what their strategy is.
Well,
I don't know if it's going to work.
I mean, the counterpost with this is I saw there was an article going around that's found that evangelical support for Israel is waning among the younger population.
Yeah.
So young evangelicals are increasingly not supporting Israel. Jews are starting to get extremely worried about that because when that support base dries up, it's like at some point people are going to be at the very least, I think, somewhat apathetic about helping Israel.
It's the only consistent political support base for Israel is these right-wing Christians, and the younger right-wing is Not only are they not supportive of Israel, a lot of them, a significant chunk, is actively anti-Semitic. Whether that be because they're Catholic or because they're white or because they're whites pretending to be Catholic. So they you know, I don't know what it is. But like a lot of the younger right wing is anti-Semitic, a good chunk of it. So, again, they do have to worry about these things. They are worried about these things. And eventually, like, if every person in America hated Israel, like, they would not be able to do what they're doing, right? Like, they would not be able to just use the government to steamroll if everybody was like, fuck Israel. Like, that wouldn't work, right? So they do need some baseline of support and baseline of apathy. And those things are all eroding. So they are worried about this. Public sentiment has something
apathy
to do with
it.
Apathy
is the biggest one, I think.
Yeah. Well, if they can't catch... But see, the thing is... It's like I said, it's a war of attrition, because it's like if more people are going from support to apathy, that's bad. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's like now, because if you have more people going from apathy to being against you, and then the people that are supporting you are moving into the apathetic direction, the trend is against you, right? Like, you know, the trend is ultimately against you. Now, I think in terms of the immediate sense, Israel will get what it wants. No, that's not true. In the immediate sense, Israel continue to press their agenda. What is holding them back from pressing what they want now is actual physical opposition.
Ops.
Like actual kinetic opposition. So the story that came out, I don't know if it's true. I'm actually have a number of, I have some skepticism of it, and I think that we'll probably see what's going on. So they pull a bunch of troops out of Gaza yesterday. This is kind of a surprise announcement. And this came after several days of warnings and chatter and talk of Iranians are going to directly strike Israel. And then even a rumor that came out that I don't know who was behind it or whose agenda it serves, that America had a back channel to Iran and had signaled to the Iranians that we didn't have anything to do with the missile strike on the embassy in Syria. So if you strike Iran in a way where U.S. assets, I mean, if you strike at Israel in a way where U.S. assets aren't harmed, as long as it's sort of like a limited retaliatory strike, we won't get involved. And I'm like, I don't buy that for a goddamn second. Like, that America, because the funny thing is, America's assets in the Middle East are the targets, right? So it's like, if because at the very beginning of this war, these Iranian-backed militias, they weren't shooting direct, other than Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is another story because they've got a history together. But the Syrian, the ones in Syria and Iraq, they were shooting at America. That was their way of retaliating against Israel for what they're doing in Gaza. They were shooting at American bases. So for America to say, hey, you can strike back at a symbolic Israeli target, as long as you don't harm American assets, it's like the American assets are the symbolic target. Like, America gets far less mad about these people shooting missiles and drones at our bases than we do if they were to strike directly at Israel. You know, like if Iran, it's one thing for Iran to have their militias out there, like shooting drones and rockets at American bases in Syria. Right, like, because they've been doing that, or they actually stopped after that little altercation a few months ago. Yeah. But they were doing that for a while. So that's one thing, right? That doesn't seem to actually engender much retaliation.
You know what my favorite rebuttal to this stuff is right now? Iran has a right to defend itself.
Obviously, they do.
I love seeing that. Like, you see some Jew talking about, oh God, you know, we gotta do something about Iran. Iran has the right to defend themselves.
When you look at Jews talking to Jews about this stuff, they're utterly, like, they have no consideration of, like, anyone else's interests as being valid at all. Like, it's just, and it's always, dude, like, so the report that came out, which was
this one, Iran reportedly communicated to the United States through the Sultan of
Yes.
Oh, man. And I just, man. That's why the only reason I wanted to read that is I can't.
Oh, do go on, please.
Where did it go?
Oh, nice.
That's all nice. Where's old man? Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Sultan of
Oman. So the Sultan of Oman, they intend to directly strike Israel unless the U.S. guarantees an immediate permanent ceasefire in Gaza and no Israeli ground invasion in Rafah. This is exclusive sources to
Now,
Jade, Jada. I don't know what that is.
Now, this is something I saw. Again, I don't know if it's real. I saw it, but this did that. This was followed or precipitated by or whatever the fuck, like, happened right around the same time as the actual troop pullout. They pulled like a division of troops out of Gaza, and they've left behind only a small force. Now, there's a lot of reasons for this from the Jews' point of view themselves, which is that their army isn't very good. They have some so-called like elite brigades. They have this thing called like the Golani Brigade, which is a heavily mechanized armored division. I don't know if it's a division, brigade, whatever. Like, I know these things mean something in terms of numbers, and division is like a big one, and brigade is like not as big as division, but it's pretty big. Anyway, that's a big mechanized unit, right? Very armored, very strong, and those are full-time soldiers.
Very
volunteers.
Armored, very strong
very
armor.
Strong, very powerful brigade, strong brigade. But the Jews have been relying on it a lot because it's not a conscript. My understanding, again, if I get this wrong, please correct me. My understanding, it's not a conscript unit. It's actually a volunteer unit, a professional unit. These are guys who they are lifers. That's what they do. They're soldiers. Jews don't have very many of those. Most of their army is conscripts, and the conscripts suck. They're shitty at fighting. They're cowards, and they don't want to fight, and they just whine all the time, and they complain, and they're not all that great. And when they get killed, it causes a big problem because their families kvetch and cry and bitch and moan, and they're afraid, and they suck at fighting. And so they actually have very few hardened elite soldiers who are just like, whatever, like, people die, we're gonna go fight. Like, that very few people are like that fight for the Israeli army. And additionally, there's also this other thing is, oh, now they're pulling out of the Gaza Strip, they're gonna start prepping for a war on Lebanon. I thought that might be likely a while ago. I have no idea. Again, it could be, it might not be, but I see Israel's in a number, the problem is Israel's kind of in a number of different binds. Like, they just don't haven't won, and they don't really have anything more they can do. And really, the only purpose of attacking Rafah was just to kill tons of people.
Yeah.
And so that's really all that it is. And they're kind of having to sort of confess that their only objective is to kill.
Well, if they kill everybody, then they could just have all that land. They could just complete the map. You know? What is up, Alex?
I was just looking to see what the updates are on this. Yeah, because they've been withdrawn from Khan Yunis. Stake America. What is this? Israel's making the same mistake America made in Iraq. What?
See, that's probably just someone hinged
David
Jew.
David French! Oh, God!
Yeah, see, oh, really? David French is now a warmonger. David French is now... Oh, wait, was he always...
I don't fucking remember.
David French sucks.
Well, if they're relating this to Iraq, then you know it's something retarded that they're going to say, and it's going to be completely inadmissible. But I've got one right here.
David French automatically generally like inadmissible.
Joel Pollack
is a guy from Breitbart.
Go ahead, go with what you got. Well,
he says
skim this.
Biden has condemned the hostages to death. If Israel does not defeat Hamas, the remaining hostages will be smuggled out through Rafah and taken to Iran. There's no reason for Hamas to make a deal. If it gets the ceasefire, it's demanded from the start. Well, I mean, there's another way out of this. Like, Israel could just surrender and leave. Like, just give Palestine all of its land back. Yeah. I bet they would give you back your filthy Jew hostages at that point if you just, like, you were like, you know what?
Well,
this whole Zionist project was a mistake, and we're going to leave now. I mean, I hope that you would still be pursued to the ends of the earth by, like, other, like, justice-loving peoples and just harassed until non-existence, but... That would be a start. It's like they act as if like something has to be done to make Hamas, like Hamas has to lose and give back all the hostages. Like, shut up, Jew. Like, that's just like a Jew thing. Like, I want everything. I want all my cakes. I want to eat them.
Right. Well, the problem is that they're not. The problem is, and Trump. This is something that Trump would actually probably say. He would probably agree with this. Although, again, he's pro-Israel.
Yeah.
They wrote checks. Their mouths wrote checks that their army can't cash. Right, like they wrote the check that we're gonna get all the hostages, we're gonna destroy Hamas. Now, really, the other thing is militarily that's not actually what they're going for. That's what they were saying, but what the Netanyahu government was doing was just killing as many people and trying to funnel them all down towards Egypt and eventually have a moment where under intense fire and pressure from Israel, the Palestinian refugees that they had pushed further, further, further closer to Egypt would just burst through the border crossings and flood into Egypt. And at that point, the Egyptians would then have to start figuring out what to do, build refugee camps, round them up. And they actually started building refugee camps in Egypt. I don't know how that project is going. But that was the plan. That was the plan. And it seems like somewhere along the line, it became clear to the Jews that that plan isn't going to work. That, like, they're not going to be able to do that. And this is where this, and the Rafah operation they were talking about was intended to do that. But the problem is, like, the more they put that off, the more they don't do it. And this is why the Jews that wanted the Rafah operation to happen are losing their shit. Because today Ben-Gvir comes out and he says, like, if Netanyahu does not attack Rafah, he's, like, lost the mandate to be prime minister. And in a way, that could be, you could interpret that in a very literal sense, in that Netanyahu was in prime minister still, despite everybody hating him, because he is there to be the scape Jew for all of these crimes that they're going to commit. And when they eventually do a massacre and genocide in Rafah, and they do try and push the people through the Egyptian border into Egypt, in the end, Netanyahu will take the blame, and then the other Jews will come in and be like, all right, well, now we're going to sweep up after this mess, whatever, whatever, right? Now, yep. I think that the more they are held off politically, this is what I'm saying, political stuff isn't useless. Political protest, political action is not useless. The political opposition to what they were doing and to the outcry around the world and the pressure on various governments and also the further pressure from the oppositional states like Iran and stuff has made them not do it. Because on some level, it's like, if this is true, I will bet you that this is true, that this Iranian contact, this Iranian threat to America is true. Because as much as I was looking at it the other day, like, Iran is kind of in a bind because there's no good way for them to strike back, like, symbolically, right, at Israel. So they'd have to strike back directly.
He's got good hair.
But if they strike back directly, yes, that is very good hair. That's very good hair.
You got that good hair. Go on. Yes. Don't let people think that I stopped you from...
Yeah, if they do strike back directly, then that, to me, is an obvious trigger for...
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please, do so. We'll both be happier for it.
War, and I was like, if America actually communicated to Iran, we'll let you bomb Israel? I was like, no, they won't. They will not. Don't trust them. Don't believe them. Wait, what was that like? Don't trust them. Don't believe them. Like, they are dying. Let them die. But no, like, I don't believe that America would not respond with massive force against the Iranians if they were to fire, like, a fucking hypersonic cruise missile into Israel territory. Like, I don't believe that America won't go to war over that. Like, I just don't believe it. However, the Iranians have their own deterrence. And that's the threat that they might just do it. And they might just be like, okay, America, like, let's go. Like, this shit has gone on long enough. Like, these people are killing everyone in Gaza. They're bombing our embassy. We have Hezbollah in the north of Israel that can rain hellfire upon Israel. We have the ability to strike Israeli territory with our missiles. Additionally, we can strike U.S. assets around the region with our missiles. Yeah, they'll pay a heavy price. But at some point, you're just going to push these people too far. Are we supposed to let you just get away with eliminating Palestinian life in Gaza altogether? See, are we supposed to let you just get away with bombing us continuously and daring us to do it? So apparently the Iranians might have sent a message. Look, we're going to do it this time, and you're just going to have to deal with the consequences. And all, because right now I'm seeing Jews going nuts on Twitter saying, like, Biden's flinching, Biden's backing down, he's letting the Iranians scare him. So they do actually have to weigh.
So hold on a second. I was trained that appeasement is why Hitler took so much territory. Well, you appeased the guy and you let him get away with a bunch of stuff, and then he tried to conquer all of Europe. I mean, is that not applicable to what's happening with Israel? Like, let's say that they ethnically cleanse Gaza and they take the West Bank, and then what? Lebanon? Like, how? Where do they stop?
Well, here's the thing. Arabs absolutely want to stop Israel from doing this. Arabs and the Iranians want to do it. They just can't because of the power dynamics, because of America and the American control over the Egyptian and Syrian governments, or the Egyptian and Jordanian governments, and also just America's power generally, right? It's scary. Like, going up against America is scary. So these countries that are oppositional and want Israel to stop, like, they're like, they always have this calculation, right? The problem is the calculations always, whenever another move is made, the calculation shifts. And if the Iranians are like, look, the Jews are just going to fucking, they're just going to do this forever. Like, they're just going to bomb us and kill our scientists, kill our generals, hit us in this place, that place, the other place. They're just going to do this forever. How long do we have to take? How long can we just continue to take this? Because at some point, people in Iran themselves will be like, yo, what the fuck? Like, why do we keep getting hit and you keep letting it happen? Anyway, I can't say that I know everything that's going on behind the scenes, all the deals and all the back channels and all this shit, right? But if this report has any truth to it and the fact that it's being promoted around, it could be very well that possibly one of the reasons for this drawdown in Gaza and the fact that they are now apparently starting talks up again in Cairo over a ceasefire, that the Iranians could have issued some very serious threat. Like, no, we're going to do it. And that, and like, again, if we hit Israel and you're going to go to war with us over that, then that's just going to be what it is. I don't know that that's what happened. It's interesting, if so, that Iran actually has a deterrent capability. We'll see what happens. I don't know. There's been reports that they were bombing the shit out of Rafah, but again, the Iranian warning said ground invasion. So, and they've backed off these things in the past. Like, I'm not generally, I actually expect in these situations, the Arab-Iranian side will blink first in these chicken games that they play historically. Chicken swinging games that they play, generally speaking, historically, from my observation of this situation over the years, the Arab-Iranian side of this, the Muslim side of this, if you will, the anti-Israel side of this, tends to blink first, tends to take more shots and de-escalate first. And that has, but again, as you talked about, what does that lead to? That means Jews are going to kill everybody in Gaza. So, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. It could be that Israel will do something in the next few days that will totally change the dynamic, or just it'll make it obvious that agreement, if that ever existed, doesn't hold or whatever. But they do seem to be, now from the Jew side, what they're saying is, well, we're just taking these troops out. This is probably true for sure, that their troops are tired and they're just taking them out of Gaza to like rest and refit. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably true, because remember, the army isn't very big and it's not very good. So like, their soldiers really, the thing is, Israel doesn't really rely on, like, they don't really engage in combat that much, right? Because who are they fighting? No, they go in to just use heavy equipment, machinery to blow things up. They're not looking, they're not like going into tunnels and like hunting Hamas or even looking for Hamas. They're just there to kill a bunch of people and destroy infrastructure. But eventually it's like, what more can you really do? Like, if you can't, if politically you're at an impasse where you can't just genocide the Gazans, or you can't ethnically cleanse them, you can't actually drive them out, because politically that's just not an option because of the various factors, well, there's nothing else to do. Like, this is kind of the thing. It's sort of like, I think the what the Jews are up against right now is, they're like, well, the purpose of this operation was to drive the Gazans into Egypt or into the sea or wherever, right? To get them out. To leave no Palestinians left in Gaza, to end Palestinian life in the Gaza Strip, whether by killing them or removing them. That was the purpose of the operation from the beginning. That's what they wanted to do. That was their goal. It's clear that was their goal. If they are at a point now where, for political reasons, they can't do that, Well, there's nothing else. They might as well just pull out. Because there's nothing else for them to do. They can't destroy Hamas. Hamas is going to survive. And so, you know, but again, also don't think for a second. This is another mistake I see people doing. They see the Israelis protesting against the Netanyahu government. And they want that, and saying they want their families back or whatever, the hostages back. Like, those people are not against, like, killing the Palestinians in any sense. Those people are just like, Netanyahu's just doing it wrong. They're like, get our families back and then murder them, please. Like, that's essentially the stance that those people take. So, Israeli society is totally behind the genocide of Palestine. Like, they're 100%, maybe 80, 90% behind it.
So I was looking at this, this David French article here, and he had kind of like stumble over something, kind of tripped into a hole over here. Mm-hmm. And he says, but when the war may well be decided after the first phase of combat, when Israel faces a different set of legal and moral obligations, the obligations of an occupying power. And then he had to immediately like try to clarify his point by saying, I want to be very precise and clear here. By occupying power, I do not mean that Israel should permanently conquer, much less settle Gazan territory. I'm referring to the technical legal status of invading army once it attains control of an invaded region. It's like, okay, but it sounds like you just admitted that they literally are an occupation.
Yeah, well, they will be. See, this is another thing. Is it's like there was a claim for a while that because they for a while, like, everybody called it the occupation, and the slogan of all Palestine groups was end the occupation. And Israel has actually, the Jews have actually maneuvered, so they're like, well, we're not occupying, right? Because they're like, we don't have any troops in Gaza. Gaza was autonomous. Or it's like, well, you still controlled everything about it. But this is an interesting thing. Because again, we here are outside observers. We have to guess as best we can based on information that we've seen, based on patterns that we've recognized, histories of people involved that we know, that, you know, things that we know, and that's how I formulate my position, sort of my knowledge of the history of this conflict and the parameters of it and my best guess about what the various players are doing. I think I've been pretty good at it. But another thing you can help your analysis when you do this is like understand certain things they want to avoid or things that they seem to. And it seems like the idea of occupying Gaza, for whatever reason, seemed like something they wanted to avoid talking about or being told or essentially being having fingers pointed at them saying, you're doing that or you're going to do that. Right now, they would talk about actually how they would do it again, like but they would use different sayings, like, we're going to control security in Gaza. It's like, well, that's the same thing as occupying them, right? So they would do language to get around it, but then it's almost like, you know, they don't want to be in a situation. And there's another thing where they don't want to be in a situation, or at least there's a lot of pressure from outside. Not, again, this is hard to explain. Like, what the crazy right-wing Jews in Israel want is different than what sort of the general Jewish community, like, not crazy right-wing Jews in Israel, what those Jews in Israel think, and what the sort of the general diaspora Jewish community wants. None of them are not Zionist. All of them really want the Palestinians gone. But the diaspora and sort of like the left, for lack of a better term, they don't want a situation where Israeli troops, where Palestinians still live in Gaza, but Israel has troops in Gaza, like, occupying and policing them. They do not want that. And they don't want that because that is a losing situation for them. Because they will continually get, like, take losses on a day-to-day basis from Palestinian, you know, Palestinian resistance groups, and they will do brutal crackdowns and reprisals, and the optics of it will be absolutely fucking shit. And they know from previous experience of doing this that they don't win by doing this. It doesn't work. The world turns against them. The world hates them. Like, it's just, it doesn't work. Like, they lost when they did it before. They lost in Lebanon. They lost in Gaza. Like, they can't do that. They don't want to return to that. Also, it's mentally wearing on people in Israel itself. They have a problem where nobody wants to go and do their stint in the army because now you grew up in Israel. you grow up like a wealthy, privileged existence. Now you have to go serve your 1 or 2 years like policing these people in Gaza and getting risked of like being suicide bombed.
Yeah, that's the thrust of the David French article. Is essentially Israel is you're going to find itself in the same situation as America did with Iraq, where you went in, you destroyed the existing governmental structures, left the place in chaos, and he does argue that hey, if you're going to do that, you do have an obligation to actually take care of those people, or they're just going to create Hamas too.
Yeah, but I'm like, I hope they create like I hope they create like Hamas Infinity and like destroy you.
How about Hamas 3, 4, and 5? Let's keep going.
Yeah,
I do agree with this a little bit about. Let's see. Speaking to Hugh Hewitt on Thursday, Donald Trump complained that Israel is losing the PR war. And what was the solution? Israel has got to finish what they started. They got to finish it fast, and we have to get on with life. The Republicans cheering this kind of talk are signaling that they've learned nothing. Finish this fast, and you don't finish it all. You leave behind bodies, create mounds of rubble, and your enemy rejoices. All you've done this quick victory is demonstrate to the local population both the lack of regard for their lives and the lack of will to truly defeat your foe. Hamas will crawl out of its tunnels and rule Gaza yet again. I do kind of agree with the sentiment.
No, he's right. No, that's absolutely right. That's totally right. But see,
they don't learn anything. It's true. Well, they don't want to learn anything.
Well, it's not. No, see, the thing is, there's nothing to learn. Like they actually do learn these things. But
right,
the problem
I learned that
is,
Israel signs my paycheck.
Well, it doesn't matter what Donald fucking Trump learns or not, right? Like what he learns is irrelevant. Like he's just saying, "Well, this is looking really bad." But the problem is, the reason it's looking really bad is because the Jews have no intent to ultimately compromise with these people. They want to drive them out. Like they want to kill them or drive them out. Period. That's it. That's why, no matter what, in the end, they can't do like an optical.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they want to do is genocide them,
right?
Ethnically cleanse them. And I've been saying, and some people were pushing back on me on Twitter, where I said, look, any end to this conflict where Palestinian life still exists in the Gaza Strip is a total defeat for the Jews.
Right.
Like, I understand that people would say, oh, but so many died, the infrastructure was blown up. I'm like, look, that's just the parameters of the conflict. Like, that's what happens when you fight Israel. Like, they fucking do scorched earth. If you make it through that and you still live on that piece of land that they tried to drive you out of with their scorched earth tactics, that's a total victory. Yes, they've killed people. Yes, they've destroyed infrastructure. They made it hell. But those people persevered through it, and they're still there. And that's a fucking loss. And not only is it a loss, it's a physical and a moral loss for Israel, because it's like, oh, look at you. Look at you, you fucking kikes. You went scorched earth. You tried to do a genocide, and you lost. So not only do you have to bear the moral burden of being a bunch of genocidal freaks, you also fucking lost. And that's what really hurts. And that's what's going to hurt them the most, when in the end that is the result. And the result is probably going to be because they ultimately are afraid of something like a direct fucking war with Iran. Because at this point, my guess is, it's like, I don't know what kind of red lines these groups have. I don't know what red lines there are. I don't know what the tripwires might be. But I don't think that the Iranians would just sit back and let the Jews end Palestinian life in the Gaza Strip. Let them effectively take a city that has been an Arab Muslim city for 1400 years and cleanse it of the people. Take this whole region and cleanse it of the people and build like Jewish beachfront condo. I don't think the Iranians would sit back and let them do that. I don't think Hezbollah would sit back and let them do that. There's probably a point. There's probably a lot they'll endure, but I don't know if they would endure that.
Endure.
I can't say.
Endure store?
Yeah. I can't say, really. I don't know. All of this is sort of guessing. But it does seem that they are, on some level, worried about the multiple different actual physical strategic military challenges they face from these groups. Like, they're worried about Hezbollah. They're worried about Iran. And we'll see what happens. Like, I don't know if this is true. I'm pretty skeptical, because I also heard that then they did a bombing campaign, of course, with the bombs that we sent them last week, the 2 million pounds of bombs that we sent them, 2,000 pound bombs. So that we sent them that they seemed to start unloading those on Rafah last night, probably as like a fuck you, because again, that also shows that they're just petty. They're like, oh, well, you don't want us to invade. We're just going to bomb the shit out of it, which is what I was sort of worried about, because I'm like, oh, well, See, whenever Jews say, "Yeah, we won't invade on the ground," I get nervous because I'm like, they're gonna kill so many fucking people. They're gonna bomb, like they're gonna just bomb structures and stuff. So, is that people spray painting blood on like Jewish stuff?
It's labor headquarters.
And those have to be UK. Palestine demonstrators, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for them. See, I'm never going to counter-signal that shit. Even if those people are fucking leftists.
That's like a white dude.
Good for, that I'm telling you, man, if you think that the Jews are so much more worried. You want to talk about the left and the Jews worried about opposition to Israel from the left? They are much more worried about that coming from white people than they are fucking brown. Okay, so the misconception... Dude, see, look at that guy. No mask, unafraid. Look at these people. Look, this is moral confidence right here. This is moral confidence. Like, they're not masked. They're just, like, that is obviously not legal. Okay,
they're doing vandalism.
They're straight up, like, vandalizing the headquarters of the Labour Party in Britain. No mask. They're willing to go to jail, and they probably will. I expect you should now throw that through the window and break it.
Youth demand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who it is.
They are inside spraying it on the walls.
That is fucking great.
Cool.
Like, fuck the Labour Party just generally. Well, look at these people. Like, see, this is what I'm saying. This is what's called...
Tories, Labour, it all means genocide.
There you
That's
go. Good
shit
for these people. Yeah.
Why aren't they out? Why aren't they crying about Muslims being in the streets of London, though? Why aren't they crying about Ramadan?
Well...
Like Tommy Robinson.
Don't they understand that Palestinians don't even like them?
You know what I know is funny? When dumbass right wingers say that to like white leftists who have been, particularly those that have been in the Palestine cause for a long time, that's not true. There's actually a lot of connections between Palestinian community and a lot of these communities of activists and stuff. And Palestinians do like them. Like, it's just not true. It's just objectively false. Like, a lot of these people have deep and long lasting relationships and friendships with people in Palestine. It's simply not true that they don't like them. It's just a dumbass. It's just a dumbass application of stupid conservative thinking to that. And that's why it doesn't affect them, because like they'll be, oh, don't you know that Palestinians hate you too? And they're like, no. Not only do I know lots of Palestinians, I've been there and they're very nice to me. It doesn't hit because it's just objectively not their actual experience. And also, like, these people are so stupid. They mix up like these like. These fucking like Dravidian retards from Pakistan with like Palestinians. It's not the same.
Yeah. Cat Turd came in with a scorching hot take. Scorching hot take.
Yeah.
A solar eclipse is about as exciting as watching paint dry. If this lame shit gets you excited, you might consider getting a life.
Dude.
I should have thought of that. Shit. That is a hot fucking take. That is hot.
I was looking at what our...
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
I like that account. That guy's good. I was looking at what he said.
Cursed boomer. Yes.
I would have been like, dude, I'm not going to recover from this.
That's like, a hot fucking take.
I'm fucking
wrecked. I want to like make fun of Alex Jones and his like Jade Helm missiles, but that's even better. It's like, bro, it's like, wow. Like, burn out your corneas watching a shadow.
You know, it's so
funny.
You know,
it's going to get real. It's going to get a little bit dim this afternoon.
You want to know what's funny? When I was a kid and they would talk about how you can't look at the eclipse, I thought that, like, there was something about an eclipse that made it, like, particularly bad.
It's like Raiders.
To look. And it's like, no, the end of Raiders, it's like, just that, like, you'll keep looking at it.
Yeah.
Rather than the fact that it's like, ordinarily, you wouldn't just keep staring at the sun unless.
I wish, like, right-wingers. Like conspiracy
right wingers should stare at the sun.
They should. I wish they would come up with some kind of narrative how like they'll get powers by doing it, so they just all do that,
dude.
And then it's like the answer of "Do you see it yet?" will be like, "No, now you're blind."
Well, no, now you can see so much more though.
And then they'll like refuse like disability because that's socialism. So like they'll be like legally blind, but be like, ah, if I want to be able to see, I'll go shop for some seeing. I'll go out on the free market, something.
No, I think that. Right wingers should absolutely stare as long and hard at the sun.
I saw some screenshots of nigger accounts saying that. Like, you can only stare at it if you have like melanated eyes.
That
was a good one.
I think that was
niggers
like,
making fun of themselves. Like they were kidding around.
I could see the kind of thing where like racists would go into nigger. Niggers, like white people be telling you not to stare at us because they got weak eyes.
Yeah.
Well, yo, you can our nigger eyes are like yellow, are like yellow pupils, or I know are yellow. You know how niggers have like yellow instead of white. Sometimes they're so dark that like the whites of their eyes are actually.
I thought that
like
means
a,
their like livers are failing because they drank too much gasoline.
That could be. I just assumed it was just general, just dark.
No, I know what you mean though. Like, you know the darkness.
Yeah, like the you see this with these niggers. Sometimes they got like.
Oh,
the,
I love this.
Literally
Fox News:
eyes.
The death to America, death to Israel chants pour out of Muslim protesters in Michigan.
Okay, based.
I love that, but they're all like, "Oh my God!" I was like, "Well, if not for Israel, they wouldn't be here to chant that."
Right. I mean, this is the kill shot.
It's weird. It's like they never process. They're saying death to America, death to Israel. What do they mean? What are they mad about? Is there anything I can do? Do they have a point at all? No, they just can't have a point because this is America.
Well,
and we chant death to you.
The thing that I find that I found somewhat frustrating about the right, the dumbass right, which is like 99% of it.
This is Fox News I'm looking at. So
right. Well, the thing I found frustrating about even those sort of adjacent to us on our side of, not on our side of things, but you know what I'm saying. Like people at least say they get the Jew issue, right? That try to then do like the I don't really care about this, or I'm not going to simp for brown people or whatever. And it's like when you make the point to them about Israel and the crisis, the refugees and the influx of people and stuff, not only being caused by the wars that they start, but then the refugee agencies themselves being run and funded by Israel, and generally speaking, Jews, even not necessarily connected directly to Israel, Jews being in charge of refugee agency and resettlement, generally speaking, I have yet to see, like, seriously, I have yet to see that side of the right actually ever respond to this in an adequate way or even acknowledge the point. Like, I just don't ever see them do it. Like, we've been making the point. I've been making it. We've been making it. Our listeners have been making it. People have been out there saying this. It's a well-known thing. Lots of people say it. I see it all the time. I never see, like, that particular type of rightoid, like, process it or respond. You know what I mean? Like, I just haven't. And there are some that are, like, perfectly capable of understanding it. And they some of them even claim to kind of get the Jew thing. And we're not just talking about, like, the dumbass conservatives, right? Because you don't, like, what's funny is one-on-one, if you get some, like, dumbass conservative, you could probably convince them of that. Now, of course, the next day it would be gone. As soon as they watched Fox News again, it would be gone. It would never stick, right?
Right.
But in the immediate sense, you could convince them of that being true because they wouldn't know because they're dumb and they don't know what to think. They need somebody to tell them. So you're the one telling them right what to think in that instant, so they'll think it, right? But the sort of more like edgy, like faux intellectual, or there's like the edgy, like anorexia types, like the bugoids, and then like bapoids and bugoids, like they'll never acknowledge this.
Called them moldoids.
Moldoids?
Bugoid is too close to like bug people. Is it moldoids?
Well, that's the moldoids. All right, moldoid is pretty good too.
All right, we gotta go.
I'm hungry. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I never see those groups that pretend like they're smart actually ever respond to that point. They've never dealt with it. They've never actually argued back. It's because they just can't. I'm assuming it's just because they can't. They just can't. So.
Fucking.
Do you want lunch?
Yes.
You're listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny?